Welcome to this week's edition of the Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. I'm Tim. I'm here with Cindy. Adele's at the controls. And Dad, the big news in Toronto, Big Joe Thornton, or Jumbo Joe, I guess they call him.
I don't call him Jumbo. I call him Joe. I got a nice picture from him, and thanks for your support. And, you know, I remember when he first, he paid for the Sioux, by the way. I have to get the Sioux in there, the OHL. And paid for St. Thomas, I think, if I get, anyhow.
He's from Tom, that's why they call him Jumbo Joe, because he's from St. Thomas.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
And that's where Jumbo the Elephant got hit.
Well, I'm glad you told him. I just thought because he was so big.
Well, I think there's a double thing there.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, you know, an elephant, what happened there? An elephant, if I remember correctly, do you know all about it, Cindy?
Well, yeah, they had in the circus, and he got ran over by a train.
Yeah, and he
so it's nice to be known for something. So city.
He was the biggest elephant in the world
in captivity.
Yeah, and he got hit by a train. The only thing that could kill him was a train. He's going across the track. How sad.
They have a big statue there.
Yeah.
What happened?
They have a big statue in St. Thomas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I think that's why they call him Jumbo Joe, because he's from St. Thomas.
Well, I'm glad you explained that, because I thought, I did not know that.
We are just a wealth of information.
Holy
the stuff
smokes.
That you
did
love
you
here.
Know that, Cindy?
If what? I'm wrong, we'll hear it on the comments.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I thought it was because he was so big.
No,
well,
it's
a double entendre, I think they call that.
What is it called?
A double entendre.
Holy smokes.
You got to be in the know.
You sound like Ron McLean now. Mm. But I remember when Samsonov, he was a little guy, but he was pretty good. He was in Boston, and he won Rookie of the Year, and Joe didn't win. And I said, check with me in 10 years, and we'll see who you want, Samsonov, or do you want Jumbo Joe? I'll call him Jumbo Joe now that I know why he's doing. You know why they got down on him in Boston? I'll never forget this. He was in the playoffs. He was getting 20 goals every year. He was in the playoffs, and he played with sore ribs, and he should never have played, but he gave it the old try, and nobody knew that he had the sore ribs, and you get the muscles sore for your ribs, boy.
I think they were almost cracked. I mean, they were really bad.
Anyhow, he played and he played with the sore ribs, and you know who they traded him for? I couldn't believe it. Now, and good look, I'm not knocking the players they traded for. Brad Stewart, Wayne Primo, and Marco Sturm, not bad hockey players. They went to San Jose.
Right, because the Bruins fans and the media really got on him that year in the playoffs when he didn't, like,
yeah,
when
he had
to
and
hurt
he had
ribs.
Bad ribs. Muscles were torn from his ribs. Anyhow, now he's coming to Toronto. He's got to play. I mean, you can't take a guy that's used to playing a lot and put him on the third and fourth line and sit him. It doesn't work out. This guy has got to play. And if they play him, I'd like to see him with some of the wingers they got up front. But I wish they had got a guy. Vancouver got a guy. And they were trying to get rid of him and because he had a sign in Las Vegas because they signed Peter Angelo. That Nate Schmidt, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I mean, he is a defenseman.
Yeah.
And Vancouver got him.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the thing. Before we go in, Dad, but talk about Vancouver, because a lot of people in Vancouver think that Jim Benning should be fired. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
I don't understand that.
They don't understand. I mean, to pick up a goaltender like a Holtby is unbelievable. Yeah. So,
I just got to get in our sponsor, the Don Cherry's Grapevine podcast is sponsored by Don Cherry Sports Grill. There's 18 across Canada.
Yep, there's 18.
And we want to make a shout-out to May, Max, and all the staff at Sydney River, Nova Scotia. And Tuesday and Wednesday night is their wing night. So we just just wanted to say hello to them. But I can't believe, like, you know, the reading on the internet and stuff, all the hockey experts
so-called.
Are just screaming so-called. At Jim Benning saying he should be fired.
I think you get executive of the year. You pick up Holtby. This guy... You can take a dartboard and throw it at the thing, either one, Demko or him, and to pick up Nate Schmidt. Holy smokes. I think they're really good. And if everybody comes to the fore, as they say, all those young players they've got, I think they're going to be dynamite. I really do. Well, I really and got a good coach. They're going to be dynamite.
Yeah. Well, you think, you know, they got Tyler Myers and they got Nate Schmidt. That's a pretty good top two.
Yeah,
and they got the goalies. But I think a lot of people were mad, though, Dad, that... they let Toffoli go and they lost.
Well, Toffoli, Toffoli went to Montreal, and Montreal's going to be pretty good too. And Bergeron, boy, talk about a guy getting ripped all the time. Bergeron is the guy that I really believe that Montreal. They got Gallagher. They signed 6 years, and I hope he's an Irish guy. He'll keep going. They got Josh Anderson, big tough defenseman, just what they needed. I mean, and Toffoli, he'll get you 20 goals easy. And Jake Allen,
The one thing I'm thinking is why they got Jake Allen is that I think Montreal saw that if they can give Carey Price a rest and Jake Allen can get 20 games and win some of them and they sneak in the playoffs.
Oh, Jake Allen, he's a good goaltender. If he gets playing, at the top of his game.
Well, like we saw, and you predicted that the playoffs this year, that once Price gets in the playoffs, if he's rested, he could win a series or two.
You can't play 60, 65 games. You can't do that. You can't. I found that out. You can play it, but you don't have that edge when the playoffs come. And the playoffs are the most important thing.
One thing, Dad, again, just kind of jumping in here, but what do you think of them getting Kovalchuk back? Because he played really well for Montreal.
I don't know if he wants to go back, though. I think he, but a lot of pressure in Montreal.
But remember, he was playing great for
them. He was playing. I'd like to see him back, and I don't know why. They don't want him back, but sure they want him back. But he could put the puck in the net, and he loved it at Montreal.
Yeah, I remember him getting that overtime goal that one game this year.
Did he ever go nuts, eh?
Yeah.
Doing handstands. Ottawa, I think Matt Murray, I think that they picked up a pretty good goalie. If he plays the way he did a couple of years ago when they won the Stanley Cup. And Austin, remember Austin Watson?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember blocking the shot?
Yeah.
I mean, they're good, pretty tough team.
They got Gabranson.
Gabranson, I've always liked him. Can I tell that story about in Windsor, about the time about his...
Yeah.
I think it's one. I'm doing a prospect game, and he came, I think it was in Windsor, Yeah, it was in Windsor. And that's when we had the snowstorm, remember that?
Yeah, driving back.
So anyhow, he's there, and he's got a sore knee. He's at the prospect game.
And he can't play because he's heartbroken.
He wanted to play so bad. Big guy too, eh? And so I said, well, why don't you come stand on the bench with us? It was jammed.
Make him feel part of the team.
And
it was on TV, wasn't it?
Yeah. So he was at the far end. Let me see. If you're looking out on the ice, he was at the right end. He was standing at the end. He helping with the door. And... all of a sudden, a guy tried to ice the puck, and we could see, but he couldn't see.
Well, you and Brian are coaches, so you guys kind of you're aware of that, right? It's like a second nature.
Well, I've been hit with a puck when the guy's trying to ice the puck. So as you see a guy coming around the left side with a right hand shot, get ready because he's killing a penalty. He's gonna rifle it. So he does, and it comes on the bench. Brian ducks, and I duck. And Gambrunson's not paying attention, and it hit him on the ear. Oh, boy, split his ear. You never saw such much blood. And I remember from Dougie Gilmore. He was in Kingston. I said, Dougie, I'm sorry to tell you. I said, you're one of your stars, one of your young players coming is hurt. He's, oh, geez, don't say that. I said, yes, his ear's cutting too. Oh, good job, it's his ear. I thought it was his knee again. But anyhow, Ottawa's really going to like him, boy. I mean,
didn't you say something funny to him when...
It could have been worse. And he says, well, how could it be worse? My ear's all cut up. He says, it could have been Brian and I get hit. Anyhow, he'll be good in Ottawa. And nobody going to push around Ottawa anymore. I don't know how good they're going to be. I have to say something when we're drafting. I just don't understand it. Maybe I'm... a little nuts here, but you tell me that this makes sense. The Toronto Maple Leafs, and I guess I'm not knocking the Toronto Maple Leafs, as I've said many times before, I have a Leaf on my license, the whole deal. I have season seats. And I grew up in Kingston, was not far, and Toronto Maple Leafs, Foster Hewitt, and the whole deal. So I cheer for the Leafs. I really do. And, sometimes they say, I don't make any... But how could a team be in the middle of the more juniors than any other place in the world. More junior hockey players. I don't care. And somebody tell me else, never will. 40,000 kids play on in the GTHL. 30,000 to 40,000 kids, right? So, and you draft, now right in the middle, you know, you draft, you must have scouts out watching. You draft, every one of your draft is either is from Europe and an American. And you're right in the middle of hockey. I just don't get, take a flyer and keep us, not GTHL, keep us happy or anything, just take a flyer. The reason they take Europeans late is they can, if they don't make out, they can just keep on playing until they're 20, 21, 22. Whereas we, our kids, get 20, when they get 20, they got to do something with them. But it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And then they go, now remember now, they draft nothing but Europeans and one American. And then they go and get they get guys from Ontario. Like, I mean, the guy, they get all the guys they picked up, the free agency, is from Ontario. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you draft all Europeans, and the guys you pick up are all from Ontario.
Yeah, I just, like we talked about it last year, I just wonder what the North American scouts think. Like, do I need to bother going to the rinks? And, you know, like the one guy that we've talked about that a long time ago that was the CHL Defenseman of the Year, this Hoffmeyer, who played for the 67s and Toronto Sign. I think he could be a good defenseman in a couple of years, but the Leafs draft so many European defensemen that are going, that Dubas, you know Dubas is going to give him, those guys, a better shot at making the club than Hoffmeyer. He'll get buried in the American League.
Well, they've got to give him a shot because
It was a CHL Defenseman of the Year, but I just know the way.
And they got him by accident. Who was it? Phoenix.
Phoenix didn't sign him.
They didn't sign him. And Hoffmeyer, I mean, this guy is about 6'2", and he must be 6'2" now. And I've always liked him. Right, he played for Ottawa, yeah. And he played for Ottawa, good Ottawa team. And they picked him up and signed him for Marlies.
Yeah, but you know, and you and I, we watched him play for, I forget who he played for, I think Don Mills, and you know, you kind of root for him, but you just know the way, the thinking of those guys, that he's going to be very tough for him to get a shot because they drafted so many of these small.
And you know, you're right, and you know, I saw that firsthand when I was in Boston. I'm not knocking the guy. His number one draft choice, and Mike Milbury was the best defenseman we had. He was better, believe it or not, Bobby, you know, it was a training camp, but he worked hard, and Mike Milbury was, I'd already told him to get an apartment. I mean, I general manager Harry Kamini says, we're sending Milbury to Rochester. What? Send him to Rochester? He's our best. And I saw this in my second year, I think it was. And we kept the number one guy, and he couldn't play defense.
Yeah, you and Harry kind of got into a big fight.
That's when we started to go downhill. It wasn't quite, but he said Milbury goes to Rochester. What the? Like I didn't quite. And remember when I played, used to see the guys go up, and they'd be number one draft choice. They couldn't carry some of the guys' jock straps we had. But they go up and play in the National Hockey because they were number one draft choice. And a guy like Hoffmeyer, I mean, they picked him up for nothing.
Yeah.
He'll have a
well,
tough
time. You had that problem in Colorado too, because they wanted the one guy and you wanted to keep Ron DeLorme.
Ronnie DeLorme, I think he's a chief scout for Vancouver. He really worked hard. It was between him and our number one draft choice who floated. I call him Baby Huey.
That's what they call him.
I call him a lot of names. I remember he got knocked out one time, and the doctor said, he can't remember who he is. He can't remember. And Rene Robert said, tell him he's Wayne Gretzky. Well, anyhow. So it came down to this, and we had a general manager, Ray Miron. You know, and I think about it as I sit here. I remember the guy said, can you work with Ray Muron? And I thought he'd work with me.
Yeah, Uncle Rich asked you that.
Hey?
Uncle Rich and Mom asked you that. Can you work with Ray Muron? I remember Uncle Rich and Mom said, are you sure you can work with this guy?
Yeah, I thought, you know, we'd work together. And I remember the very first exhibition game we had. A scout told me, Frank Millen, it comes to me now. He said, you know, he was knifing you. And I says, he's knifing me the first exhibition game. So what happened was I had this Ronnie DeLorme boy. He worked hard. He was my type of guy. And we had this number one draft choice floating man. And he was making 100. He was making, He was making six times as much money as Ronnie DeLorme. And I sent him to Fort Worth because the players knew. I mean, the players know before anybody. And I had the players, but I can hear the general manager going to the guy, and I don't care. I know he went to him, and he says, see, there's our number one draft choice. He sends to Fort Worth, and he keeps this guy we got. I knew I was done. I knew I was at training camp. I knew I'd only last 1 year.
Yeah, because you said, you've said it a couple of times, that if the players see that you're kind of kowtowing to the general manager's picks, you could be in trouble.
Oh, the players, they're the first ones that know. And everybody knew. And they called this guy Baby Huey. And he got a nice contract from him. He was the number one draft. Number one.
Like a high number one. So he would have been second or third overall.
Yeah. And they went to see him play. He played pretty good in Kingston. I think he played for Kingston. Same guy. Can I tell a story about the same guy? I better not. Yeah.
But
I'll tell you the story. I was indoctrinated into the Kingston Hall of Fame, and Dougie Gilmore, I think it was, and Kirk at the same time. And I got up to speak, and this guy got up. He's sitting in the front, right in the front. He got up and walked out, and everybody in the place is looking at him.
This is the guy that you sent down to the Miners.
Yeah, and he got up and walked. I mean, you know, it does something to your when you see a guy get up, and I recognize it was him. Anyhow, I got him back, and he came back, and he saw Ricky Smith, and he says, he got me again, eh? He got me again. So, well, anyhow, that was the one when number one draft choice, and I'm rambling on here.
But one story I like to tell about what kind of guy Ronnie DeLorme was, I remember he got in a fight with Dave Semenko. Remember he fought Dave Semenko?
Yeah.
And, you know, Ron was big, but he wasn't as big as Semenko.
Oh, no, he was only...
Semenko hit him so hard, his helmet popped straight up in the air. And he didn't go down, and he kept going. So.
I'll tell you a story about Ronnie DeLorme. Before I came here, you talk about it, we had the toughest team in sports ever. And if you want, I won't go over the guys. But anyhow, so he came into Boston Garden, and nobody ever fooled around with Boston Garden. And he gets a goal for Colorado, and he goes over by the bench. He goes to one knee, and he pulls out as if he was a native, eh? And he pulled out as if he was a native and an arrow, and he pulled it, you know, out of the back and shot it at our bench. I said, did you see what I just saw? Mm-hmm. And he fought three guys. I think he fought John Wensink, and I forget somebody else. And by God, I say, you knew I knew I liked him right from the start. And Ronnie DeLorme, boy, and he's a chief scout.
Yeah.
And again, I'm repeating myself, but I think Vancouver is going to do great this year.
Well, I hope so, because there's a lot. Jim Benning's reading the paper thinking, yeah. I think you're the only one in his corner right now. He's thinking,
remember who said he's doing good. They're not going to, I don't know if they're good enough to win the Stanley Cup, but they're going to be... There'll always be in a game if Demko plays the way he can, because, you know, Holtby's going to play. There'll always be a chance to win a game.
Yep. So, Dad, we want to say hello to our other sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're our First Nations online casino and sportsbook, and they're tailored to the Canadian business, which means you can, when you put deposit, it's Canadian money, which is good.
Which is good.
Sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit 100%. Up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. So if you put $50 in, they'll give you $50.
What?
And you get 15 spins, and you can win a cool $1 million if you win.
I must talk about Ronnie DeLorme and a few other guys, and Dan Jonathan and everything.
Yeah.
They're good native boys.
And then your first sports bet, you get $25. So I won last night because they took Tampa over Houston. I thought there was no way the Astros were going to beat Tampa 4 straight. So.
Well, that was a pretty good ball game, though. When they got those two, they had 4-2, and they had two men on, and he struck the guy out. And yeah. They put the camera on that guy, and I can just know what he's thinking. He said, "I had a chance to win the game," and that was pretty good, Bob.
Yeah, I just can't get over how hard those guys throw the ball.
No. You can't get over that. And I watched all the games. I can't get over how the seventh game, and they have the camera on them on the first base, and they laugh and joke, and they're down to nothing in the seventh game, and they're having a good time. And I think of Dallas and Tampa when they're in the. I mean, it was life and death. I mean, have you ever caught laughing in those games? Europeans do in the regular season, but even they don't do in the.
Yeah, I remember. I saw that. The Houston Astros guy on first base, and he was laughing and joking with the Tampa first baseman.
I just don't get it in my estimation. Anyhow, hockey, and a lot of people asked about Chara. You were asking about Chara.
Yeah, there's two guys, free agents, that we wonder
Mike
about.
Hoffman.
Mike Hoff. I mean, he got 20 goals. Guys that are getting 15 goals are getting $3 or $4 million a year.
Like, a guy got $8 million, got 16 goals.
And he's consistently getting 20 goals.
He's got 90 some goals in the last 3 years. You know, he was the guy that got a bad reputation, and he shouldn't have got it, was Carlson, who's getting $10 million in San Jose, and he got, I think, 7 goals last year. Mike Hoffman, I don't understand it. I just don't understand why he's not signed.
Well, I mean, you were saying, like, do you think they're that sometimes when a reputation or an incident like that happens, that it follows you around?
I don't know. I guess so. Evidently it does.
Not for a 20 goal scorer, though.
When
you were putting together, or you were putting together a team in Boston, did you listen to gossip, or did you judge a guy on the reputation that he had in Boston?
No, I watched them. I usually, guys we got, I knew them pretty good. And, funny guys, we picked up, remember Ricky Smith? We picked up Ricky Smith. I knew he was a good defenseman. Well, you were telling me that he was plus 70.
Yeah, the 1 year, I forget what year it was. He was plus, the year that we scored the 11, 20 goal score.
He's always seemed to be on the ice when we got an important goal.
He was plus 70. Today, the guy Ryan Graves that won, he was plus 40. 40.
Imagine, but when you're plus 70, it doesn't mean much when Bobby Orr.
Bobby wasn't playing, though. This was
it's plus 70. I mean, that is unbelievable. Nashville, David Poile, they know that you have to be tougher to win the Stanley Cup, and that's the idea. You go in, they get Borowiecki. I like that. I always liked that guy that played for Ottawa.
Yeah, he always led the league. He was always up there in hits.
Oh, and I wouldn't have let him go, boy. And he's from Ottawa. I think he's from Kanata. And Cousins, and they got Richardson, and Benning. I mean, they're going to be. He realized that you don't make it on sweethearts. You can do it in a regular season. You can be great. But Nashville, David Poile, he finally realized. They were great, but they get tougher.
So, what do you think what's going to happen with Chara? To me, it should be a no-brainer. And the people go, well, he's getting old. He was the top defense pair in Boston that was first place overall.
I don't think he'd leave Boston. I think they realize that he loves Boston, and I don't know if he's good for him to stay in Boston, because I just don't. I McAvoy he plays for Boston. He's a terrific, and he somehow had the idea that he was protecting Chara. He going back and get the puck and stuff like that. Chara is not what he was when he was 21. You know, I ever tell you the story?
Yeah, you got to tell that. This is an unbelievable story. So tell it. And I know you're kind of knocking Ottawa, but you got to tell it.
Well, this was a long time ago.
Long time ago. You got to tell the story.
I get a call, and I'm not going to say who it's from. It was very high up in the Ottawa, and they said, Don, we're calling. Oh, calling me. Is who do you like? Wade Redden. I really like, and I personally really liked Redden. Remember?
Yeah, we'll get into that. But it's another story with Redden. We'll get into it. It's funny.
Anyhow, Scott Oak, remember the guy? He said, why did you come over here when the guy could walk? Anyhow.
We'll tell that story later. We'll tell that story another time. But it's a long story.
So they asked me, who do I like, Wade Redden or do I like Chera? And I said, you're kidding. You know, I said, Chera is going to win the Norris, in which he has won the Norris. Mm. And he's the toughest guy in the league. I said, why would you? And they said, well, we're going to let one of them go. I said, well, you're going to don't let Chera go. And they let Chera go. And I never forgot that. I read in the paper so much for my, and he was Norris Trophy. And what, and I met him, and he, and is he big? Remember the picture they had? he was facing off. What was I down there for? I forget what I was.
We were down. You were, well, this is the whole thing that you were mad. This was a few years ago that you wanted Savard to face off.
And you know, he's normal.
Normal size. And they said, no, Chera's got to take the draw. So Chera's, what, he's 6'8 or 6'9?
Oh, and when he has the skates on, he's and I, here I am, I look to be about 4'2". I mean, and it was really something. He was, and when he's got skates on.
Well, and then, you know, we know, Sidney, that when Dad's mad, like, you know, sometimes he takes it out on other things. So then you went on the air after periods after there was a fight between Colton Orr and Lucic. So you're on Boston TV with Mike Milbury.
And they had done a big deal. I was Nesson. They flied on Cherry in and, you know.
When you're like that, I think, I wonder what he was really angry about. I wonder what happened before. That's what
so I remember Lucic, he was just a kid, and he's fighting at Horton.
It was Colton Orr, wasn't it?
Colton Orr, yeah. And that was bad. He didn't want to fight Orr, you know, because Orr was a big.
Well, they got into a fight, and Orr really corked him.
Broke his nose, and he kind of hid behind the linesman a little bit. And I got on television with Mike Milbury, and I forget the girl's name. Yeah. Anyhow, it was a girl. I think she's still on both the television. Well, no, not Mike. Mike, he said something that.
Mike. Yeah, she's still there. Both you guys are gone.
Yeah, so. I'm gone. So he'll be back next year. So anyhow, I got on and I'm really ripping loose again. Evidently, on the Boston, you're not supposed to rip the players too bad, and I'm really ripping loose, you know, for not fighting Orr and everything. And all of a sudden, I look at the side of me. Both of them have left. We were standing there and they both left as if to say.
Well, they didn't leave, but they were, you could see them slowly starting to move away from you as if to say, I don't want to be associated.
And I was never asked back again. And I have the poster. They had big, beauty. I was supposed to go back there every other, you know, down to.
So do you think Chera will sign?
I think Chera will sign. And believe me, he is.
I think if I was the Leafs, I'd try to grab him.
No, he'd never grab him. You don't have any money left to start with, but Chera, he doesn't want much money, and he is a fitness nut too. So he'll be with Boston.
Well, we have to say, and I've said it before, he's a total vegan. He's
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Sounds vegan. It sounds like you're with Star Trek or something. Yeah. Doesn't
so there's a rumor going out that they might have an all-Canadian division next year.
And boy, that would be something for television. Yeah. Imagine you have McDavid. There's another thing I don't understand. You know, I tell me that McDavid is not even nominated. Never mind winning anything, but not even nominated for anything. And he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I begin to think that he's so good that the guys just say, you know.
Like the Bobby Orr syndrome.
Yeah, like he's so good. He's in another world because he didn't even get nominated for one award.
Yeah. So, Dad, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I was reading in the paper today, Steve Simmons had in his column, and Brian Burke has a new book out, and it talks about the incident with Bertuzzi and Moore. When I don't know if people forget that Bertuzzi hit Moore late in the game and broke his neck, and there was a big lawsuit. And
he broke his neck? I don't know.
Yeah, supposedly he broke his neck. Yeah. And so
well, let me just jump in.
Yeah. So you tell us, because you never really ever explained what you think.
I never did.
And this was a big, big incident.
Oh,
they arrested Bertuzzi. He went to court and all that. Deal, so, yeah.
Well, okay. The first, Moore hit Naslin, and Naslin was leading the league, I think, at the time. I didn't mind it, but it was sort of a semi. Not a cheap shot, but he really corked him.
gave him a concussion. He missed a bunch of games.
Yeah. Now, Bertuzzi played on the wing with Naslin, and he is absolutely fuming over the whole thing because, first of all, he's his good friend, and Vancouver's playing.
So, excuse me, let me jump in for a sec. That there was no penalty, and Moore never got suspended or anything, so nothing happened.
If he had been suspended, I think Bertuzzi would have been happy, but nothing happened.
Nothing happened. So then they played, a month later or something.
A month later, and Bertuzzi's still fuming over the whole thing. And Vancouver and Bertuzzi is playing for Vancouver, and I think they're getting hammered 8-2 or something.
Yeah, by Colorado.
At home. So this is as a coach, I would never, if I was going to put on Moore with about 5 minutes to go, I would have had the big, tough guy. What was he, 6'7", Peter Rowell?
Yeah, 6'7". He had 200 minutes and penalties. He was probably the toughest guy in the league at the time.
He was. So, first of all, as a coach, I would never put Moore back on, and especially when Bertuzzi is on the ice. And if I was going to put him on, I would have Rowell out there. So, sure enough, when I saw them go on, I said, what are you trying to prove putting Moore on there? Moore wasn't that type of, he hit once in a while, but he was just a player. He killed penalties in third and fourth line. And, I see Bertuzzi out there too again. Now, I know there's going to be trouble. Now, I don't want to talk about the coaches and that, but Moore should have never been on the ice. Again, if he is on the ice, he should have Rowell on there. And if I did want to put Bertuzzi, if Bertuzzi's going to go on, I know I'm going to lose him because he's going to go after Moore. And that's exactly what happened. And if people remember, it was a bad...
So you think if Peter Rowell was on the ice, you wouldn't have went over to Bertuzzi?
Never. Peter Rowell had to be on there. First of all, Bertuzzi chased Moore around the ice.
Yeah.
And he would have stepped in. And the mistake was made, in my impression, is Rowell had been on the ice. If you had to put Moore on the ice, you have to. I wouldn't have, but if he had been on the ice, Rowell should have been on too.
When you were coaching, you had Stan Jonathan and Terry, who Terry had a temper, and you had John Wensink.
L.C. Cord,
Cash, who had a temper, Schmatzi, who had a temper. Yeah. Did you ever keep those guys off the ice because you knew that they were going to get in trouble, if something was going to happen?
I'm trying to think. No, because you had to be careful. If they ever thought that you were playing games with them, I just rolled the lines. And if somebody was out there, I knew one thing that drove me nuts was retaliatory penalties. Never mind, I got 5 minute majors. We take the 5 minute majors, but retaliatory minutes. No, I just rolled the lines and let them go. And boy. And we never embarrassed the other club.
Yeah, I try to think the only time like I remember Terry getting.
There was once I got to tell a story about Terry. What was that guy's name? The big guy for
Filipov.
Filipov, yeah. He grabbed he was big and strong. Filipov was big and strong, and he grabbed Terry, and he didn't want to fight, but he just grabbed him, and he was so big and strong he couldn't do anything. And Terry,
this was in Atlanta, and there was another bench clearing brawl in Atlanta. We always had, for some reason, the Bruins. You guys always had big fights in Atlanta.
I don't know why. So and never played well. Anyhow, he's got Terry, and he embarrassed Terry. And boy, when you embarrass Terry, can I tell that story? I guess I can't say what. But anyhow, so the next day, I knew Terry wanted a piece of him, and I kept putting him on against. And he knew what I was doing because I knew Terry. If I had done it the other way, he'd have been mad. And Filipov got the puck. I can still, as God is my judge, I can still see it now. He cut along our blue line, cut to the inside, and Terry's coming back the other side. And he hit him, and I thought, and Filipov was on the ice convulsing, I thought he was going to die. So Terry's standing at the end, leaning on a stick. And I go down, and I think Terry is really concerned because he's looking at him, eh? And that guy's flopping around and everything. And so I go down, and I said, geez, Terry, don't worry about a thing. I think he's going to be all right. And Terry's very quiet. He was very quiet guy when he's not mad. He gets, you know, he does stained glass windows and stuff like that. And he says, oh, Grapes, he says, I'm not worried. I don't give up if he dies. I never forgot that one. So he was the only guy that ever, and Filipov, he was okay. He come on, I don't think he finished the game, but Terry, boy, he was the bad guy to cross. And I don't believe, get back to our story again, and I know Brian got ripped in the paper pretty good for giving it to Moore because he didn't think he was hurt, but I honestly believe nothing would have happened if Peter Rowell, had it been on the ice with Moore.
Well, Dad, I think that's enough for this week. You know, I want to thank our sponsors, the Don Cherry Sports Grill, and we also spreads.ca. And next week, Dad, we're going to talk about, we keep saying we're going to Sydney, but we always seem to get off on tangents. We're going to talk about some of the guys that we saw who were drafted drafted this year. We saw play minor minutes. And I'm going to give you, not that my opinion means anything, but I'm going to think the guy that's going to be come out is going to be one of the better players in this draft who got drafted, I think, almost 100. And he's going to be a player. I think he's
What's his name?
Brandon Coe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of circumstances that's kind of got into his way. And I think he's going to be a guy who's going to make the National Hockey League and surprise a lot of people. So we'll talk about that next week. And thanks everybody for tuning in.